Well, right before we get into the other part of the service this morning, I want to share with you last Sunday night, we had a meeting of those folks that were able to be here that are interested in youth work, and I just want to tell the rest of the church, be afraid, be very afraid, in a very positive way. They had plans to take over the sanctuary and use it for something and push us out, but they have a lot of wonderful ideas and vision, and I want you to pray for them and pray for all that they're doing. They've added to their leadership and a lot of wonderful things going on, and we praise God for that. Let's pray together. Father, we now come to a very special time, and we just pray that Your anointing will be on this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did not give Robbie scripture this morning. If you have your Bible, you can turn there or you can just kind of follow along in a moment. I'm not really going to read all of the passage, so that's the reason I didn't. This morning we come to one of the oldest traditions in the church. In fact, it dates all the way back to the early church, the first church. And that is the setting apart of individuals to serve in what is known as the diakonos, or deacons. This morning we come to ordain two of our own that the church had set apart. Now, one of the things we do here at Holloway's is we follow what we believe to be the biblical guidelines, and I'm just going to kind of read it quickly. If you have your Bible, Acts 6. Don't you try to find that, Robbie, and put that up there. You won't get there until you may get there in time. We usually have it on the screen. That's what I'm talking to when I say Robbie. It's not some mysterious guest for those of you others. And I'm going to read through verse 6, but I'm just going to kind of tell you what was going on. I'm going to kind of paraphrase. The early church was growing. The early church was growing. The disciples, when it says that, it doesn't mean the 12, they were now apostles, were increasing in number. In fact, Peter had preached, and 3,000 people have been added to the church. That's a lot of folks to enroll in a hurry. As they began to minister to each other because they were responsible for each other, they found that there was a need. There were really two types of needs. There was widows and there was orphans. The widow and orphan idea goes all the way back to the furthest reaches of the Old Testament of God with his people. In this particular instance, it was widows. There were Hellenistic widows. Who is that? That is widows who really were not native to Jerusalem and the area around Israel. But they had come on the day of Pentecost, and they had stayed, and they had needs. There was also the Hebrew ladies, or the native Jews that had widows that had needs. Some of them were not necessarily widows in the sense of they lost their husband, as much as the fact that they had become followers of Christ and they had lost their whole family, their whole support system. Well, the apostles, you know, there's not but a few of them, make the decision. They say in verse 2, the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." In other words, what they were doing, they were making sure everybody was fed. They were trying to do it all. So, they said, "Select from among yourselves," and they use seven here. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to only have seven or whatever. Other churches have more, some have less. "Men full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and put them in charge of this task." What was the task? Now, give you a little bit of a theology and a Bible lesson here, regardless of how your church does it. And I'm not putting down your church or this church or any other church. The call of the deacon was for one main responsibility. And everybody would say, to serve tables. No, to serve. Jesus said, in his ministry, "The Son of Man came to serve, not to be served." He didn't come to be the king and the ruler. That's what they wanted him to be. He came to be a servant. I am called. Part of the responsibility of a pastor is as a servant to, and you say, "Yeah, you're supposed to serve the congregation." Any of you that think that, you're biblically illiterate, you're wrong. No, I serve the Lord. and I serve the congregation on behalf of the Lord here. You're not my boss. Now, you can tell me you don't want me to be here anymore, but you can't throw me out of the ministry. Only God can do that. He's the one that I serve, and I serve you on His behalf. Same thing with our deacons, with deacons. And our deacons do that here. Now, various churches do various things in the sense of service. But I want our two new deacons to understand, and I know they understand that. They've been a part of this fellowship. We don't have, though we call them a board, I don't think they're hung up on that. I've never found any of the deacons around here that kind of strutted around. I've known some deacons, and pastors too, but deacons especially, you know, that strut around like a peacock. You know, kind of all of a sudden spread their feathers and I'm deacon so-and-so. I remember at my home church that I had the great pleasure as a young man, I was too dumb to know better, to serve on the finance committee. And we recommended a raise for the staff. Can I have an amen? I'm just having some fun, okay? Just, did you hear that? Y'all don't get to do that either. And so what was so funny is we did that. Well, I had some peacock deacon walk up to me, and he said, I'll have you know I've been in this church 19 years, and we've never done anything like that. Now, some of y'all know me. I was 22. I said, I've been in this church 22 years. I was here 9 months before I was born. I got more seniority than you do, and that's what the committee recommended. Well, he strutted off like a peacock. Well, we don't do that, maybe. Our deacons do serve. They serve in various ways, in advising and trying to keep the pastor calm. And that's a full-time job for them anyway, okay? And they do serve this church. And so as we come today, they come as servants. In a few weeks, on Labor Day Sunday, we'll do the Lord's Supper. It is that time when we do that. And one of the things our deacons do is they carry you the bread and the cup. Well, that's symbolic of their service to you. And so I just wanted to remind you as a congregation and those that are coming, and our deacons know that they do this, our call is to serve the Lord on behalf of this congregation. Okay? Now, your deacons know this, but they're obligated to the Lord first, not to you. Now, you may not agree with that. God doesn't care. Their obligation, first of all, is to you. My obligation, first of all, is to Him, and then on to your behalf. Well, we come this morning, it says in verse 5 that the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And it says they brought them before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Now, what I did not read, because different churches do it different ways, I believe we do it probably the clearest biblical way. The apostles said, you choose from among you. And that's what we do here. I know different churches do it different ways, not condemning that. How did we come to this point? We choose. We begin a selection process of who this church feels like that the Lord is leading to set out. And after that, we go a step further and we do a vote. And the top two vote-getters get chosen to be a deacon. This morning, we are lucky. I'm not going to call you Medea, okay? All right. Perry, if you and Sean will come, and Robbie, if you and Tina will come, I want you to see our two new deacons and their wives. You say, well, why do you have the wife come? Because we want something pretty up here, amen? Amen. Stand before me first. You don't get to sit down yet. And I don't know why I'm giving them a chair, but, you know. Yeah, right then. I'm going to let you four face me, but I'm going to talk to them first. These four, because they are a team, have been chosen by you to serve the Lord and to serve here on your behalf. Here's what they need from you. Number one, they need your prayers. Every deacon we have, both active and inactive, needs your prayers. It is not a fun position. Second of all, they need your encouragement. I can tell you that, and we haven't had any raucous business meetings around here. You never know, but I've been in some. Sometimes deacons have to make very, very difficult decisions. And they are called on behalf of the congregation to do that. They need your encouragement, but they also need your support that when they make one of those difficult decisions that you don't agree with. Now, they don't act on behalf of themselves, but they do recommend things from time to time that some of you don't agree with. That's okay. They still need your prayers. They need your encouragement. And they need you to minister alongside of them. They're not here as the waiter and you are the patient or you're the one receiving. So now, I'm going to ask all of the members of the Holloway's congregation to please stand for just a moment. All of our members, guys and gals, if you'll turn around. These are your two new deacons. You know who your other deacons are. These are your two deacons. And I charge you, I call upon you as a church to do exactly what I ask. To encourage them, to pray for them. Pray for them daily. In the days and months ahead, as we start a new church year, the 1st of September, and then for the rest of that time and through next August, there are a lot of exciting things coming down the pipeline. There are a lot of exciting ideas that are going to come across the board. They're going to need your prayers to be able to discern not what you want, not what I want, not what they want. What does God want first? They're going to need your encouragement. There are going to be some tough days. It's not always easy to be a deacon. I remember the fellow that was talking to one of his deacons, and he said, "I'm addicted to calling these 1-900 numbers because I want people to talk dirty to me." The guy looked at him. He said, "Well, I can solve that. It won't cost you another penny to call one of those numbers." He said, "What?" He said, "Just get right with the church, right with the Lord, become a deacon, and they'll talk dirty to you for nothing. I want to encourage you, boys, okay?" Not really. It happens. And I just wanted you as a congregation to see, I wanted them to see you standing, that you're going to support them, and you're going to pray for them, and you're going to encourage them, even when you don't agree with them. Now, you'll be seated. And if you guys and girls, ladies, will turn around and face me one more time. Your call is to servanthood. Your call is to faithfulness. Your call is to be here. And that's one of the things. Congregation, you want to see your deacons here, right? Wait a minute. I've heard from enough of you. You're not complaining. You want to see them be visible, right? Right. Okay, you heard that. That's good. I just wanted to tell you both, proud of you, proud of what God is going to do for you. In just a moment, we're going to come and lay hands on you, get your last look at your husband with hair. You never know around here. Okay? But thank you. To you ladies, you have not a tough spot, but a good spot. You're there to keep him straight still, Tina. You're there to keep him straight still, Sean. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you two guys, and I'm going to ask the ladies to stand beside you, not behind you. Because beside every good deacon is a good woman. Amen? Amen? Guys, if you'll sit down. And we may need to slide it back so people can get through. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do, folks. We're going to have a prayer. Y'all will sit down. We usually make them kneel down, but these two are so old and decrepit, I'm not sure they can stay down that long. You know what I'm saying? I had to do that, and I'll pay for that in a deacon's meeting in a little while, in a few weeks. We're coming now. It says that the congregation came together and laid hands on them. Now, in some churches, they only allow the pastor and the deacons to lay on hands. I don't believe that that is biblical, and so as long as I'm pastor here, we're going to do it what I think is the biblical way. You chose them. You get the chance to come and speak to them. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask all of our active and inactive deacons, please stand up.
And if you will start making your way, you're not going to get there. If you'll just kind of make your way to the front down here for just a moment. You'll come on. Gentlemen, we know not all of them are here. If you are an active, if you have been a deacon in another congregation and you are physically able, we want you to come. You're going to line up in just a moment. If you've been a deacon in another congregation, Christian congregation, we certainly welcome you. If we have any licensed or ordained ministers here, we're going to do that. We're going to come first, and we're going to lay hands. We have two to do, so we're going to do that and say a little prayer over there. And then we're going to invite you as family and you as church. We got nowhere to go. You're not going to hear any more from me until the end. And it's going to be kind of a quiet time, but if the family, if you're able and you want to come, you come. If you need help getting down here, we'll get you here. You may say, well, you know, it doesn't matter how long the line is. Now, what do you do when you lay hands on them? You're asking just a word of encouragement, word of prayer, word of support, whatever God leads you to do for them and for the two women beside them. Rose, if you'll join me. All right, we'll start this way. You'll bow your heads, men.